Should be fun. I mean, these guys are going to just, they're running around trying to get it all ready. We are doing the panel at Explosion. It's pretty exciting. You might have on a couple of your seats, like I think every second seat has a little card that says the panel and it has a phone number. So what you can do tonight is if you have questions, we're getting there. I think that one needs to go over the other side there, Kurt. Awesome. If you have questions about God, about faith, about life, whatever, you can text them through and the guys at the back will send them up to us and we'll get that going. And that way, and then we will, as a panel, endeavor to answer those questions. I also have some backup questions if people don't. We've got lava lamps for no other reason than Josh wanted one and bought it. So that's just fun. So I'm just going to get the guys who are on the panel to come up. So we've got Adrian and Liz, we've got Jess, and we've got Mum. They come running. They're going to grab that seat. You guys could sit together if you wanted. Go for it. Look at this. Decided that we had to make it a bit like Rove, so we have M&Ms. But then I thought, oh, M&Ms are pretty seedy if I throw them. Yeah. So there's a few fantails so that I can try and throw. You can't just come up and get your own. So look out. Whoop, I just almost threw it straight at the baby. What? Is it melted? Someone's throwing stuff back at me already. That's a good start. Oh, can you get me my computer? Sorry. I need that or nobody will be asking any questions. Thank you, Kia. Woo! Okay, are the lava lamps working? Who's excited? Yeah. Who's pumped? Woo-hoo. Hands up if you think this is going to work. Yeah. That's encouraging. all right. So just to start off, guys, maybe if you want to just, if there's people here who don't know you guys, do you want to just introduce yourselves and say something about yourself? So we're going to start with you, Jess, and we'll go across.
I'm Jess Green, used to be Jess King. Married Colin, and I've been in this church for maybe 5 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Ish.
Just go with it.
Jess used to be the longest distance travelling person who came to church. She lives a lot closer now. But
I was living in Homebush.
She used to come
Sydney.
From Sydney to
every
Wollongong
Sunday
to
morning.
Church every
and so
weekend.
So anyone else that was late, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so that's Jess. Well, I missed that completely, but that's okay. Good. All right, so Mum, giving the game away a little bit by saying that, but
yeah, I'm
tell
his
us
mother.
About yourself. It's my mum.
Okay, my name's Heather Thomas, and my husband and I started this church 17 years ago now, which is quite a while. So, and we love this church. I love my kids, I love my family, and I love God, but this church it's my passion. It's what I love more than anything else.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great. Well, my name's Andrew Thomas, and we started this church 17 years ago, and I was 6 turning 7 when we moved here, so that's exciting, and I guess from then it's just that's me.
That's what we did.
I finished school. I finished uni. Now I'm here. Liz?
I am Liz Thornton.
Yay!
I am married to Adrian Thornton. I've been coming to this church for about 13 years.
You?
Yep, that's right, 13 years. I came when I was 10 for the first time here. That's very exciting. I have also finished uni, just. And I have... Well, Adrian and I run Kids Rock, which is a bit of fun. It's very fun. That's a bit about me.
Hey, y'all. I'm Adrian Thornton, if you don't know. What's that? Oh, yeah. Keep it to yourself. So, married to Liz here. I've been at this church for maybe 6 years, I think, and loved, this was the first church I came to when I moved to Wollongong, and I haven't been to any other ones since. So, yeah, Liz and I do Kids Rock at the moment, and, yeah, a bunch of other things as well. Love it all. Love church.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, that's good. Does everyone feel a bit clearer now?
And he's a board member as well, so he can answer financial questions.
He could answer financial questions for you if you want to know.
Any requests?
if you want something in on the budget,
we have
good
two
luck. Good luck them actually doing
members.
Something on stage right now.
We could talk about the fact that we are getting quotes to get the air,
to
conditioning,
fix the air conditioning on
the stage.
Yeah.
Here,
that'd be
it's
nice.
Pretty hot up here on the stage. So.
It's probably not the most crucial thing we could
talk
about.
Oh, not the most crucial thing we could talk about. Oh, okay.
So, I guess just a question for all of you guys. Just what would your first experience of church be? And Liz, we'll start with you because we've got a text question through saying, what was your salvation experience?
Oh, this is very hard. My first experience with church was possibly when I was 1 week old. I don't actually remember that, as it happens. I've been in church my whole life. My parents have been going to church forever. And am I answering first experience with church or my first salvation?
Well,
or my salvation
you just
experience?
Answered your first. Yep. Yeah, so go for that
so
one.
So I actually, to tell you the truth, also don't remember my salvation experience very well. I remember going up. My dad used to look after the youth down at a church in Dapto, which Heidi and I used to go to, and Beck, I don't think Beck's here, but we used to go there. A little bit of fun. And they went up to Sutherland, I think, when I was about four, and I accompanied my dad. And when they asked, like, they did an altar call at the end, and I went down, which was very exciting. But I think, and that's definitely the time I first committed, but I barely remember it. So I think for me, my salvation experience really has been something that has gone on for quite a while. That was my first experience, but there have been times in my life when I've committed to God, you know, over again, and I think stepped up a little bit when I hit high school, and started to really serve God then.
Yeah, cool.
Did you say you were four?
I think I was about four. I don't remember
so
exactly. But apparently,
cute.
Dad just said to me, Dad didn't say anything. I said to Dad, Dad, I think I need to go down the front or something like that. Not that I really remember.
That was a very articulate four-year-old.
I know. I was very...
That's hardly a surprise.
I do rather enjoy talking.
Oh, man. So, Adrian, what about you?
My first experience is like, oh, this is boring. This sucks. I hate church. I don't want to ever go to church.
Why did we let you up?
That wasn't here. But that's when I was at primary school, and I just thought, man, who would ever want to go to church? It's like the worst place you could be. It'd be so boring. But like after a huge, like, if you want to hear my salvation story, come speak to me after, because it takes a bit of time and it's a bit complicated. But once I did get into church, the Spirit of God did something crazy in me, and I just loved it. And I remember being a child in church, and I could have gone to kids' church, but I didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay up the front. I remember being in the second row and just wanted to hear the guy speaking and sing out praises to God. And so that's where I began, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Sweet. Just getting texts are coming through. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's right.
Jess, what about you? First church experience or that sort of thing?
I went to church with my mum and my sister every week since we were born. So I don't remember my first church experience. But I think the time where God became really personal to me was when I had a real revelation of I'm a twin and my twin sister has Downs and I don't. And so I think the first time where I realized that extra chromosome that makes you Down syndrome or not went to her and not to me, and I felt so blessed and called to do something with my life. And I think that's when I really felt like my relationship with God became very personal.
Yeah, wow.
But before that, like, I just knew a lot about God because I'd always gone to church but didn't know God. And then I really knew that he had a lot for me and was working for me before I was born. So cool. That was cool.
That's really cool.
That's great. Mm. That's really cool. So someone texted through saying, what's one of the biggest God moments in your life? So Jess, you're kind of saying that was a...
I reckon that's probably the biggest one.
Big
that was like paralyzing.
You. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What about other guys? Anybody want to jump in on that question? Big God. God is in inverted commas.
Weird,
like,
isn't
God
it?
God moments.
The so-called God.
Weird. I don't know why it's in inverted commas, but it is.
I think for me, I haven't had a lot or many... big God moments. Yeah. I think a lot of people may expect them and think, oh, to become a Christian, you've got to have this big God moment. Mm. But in the end, it's just like day-to-day serving God, and he just does things, and it's really cool, and it's all natural. But yeah, of course, there is big God moments, and I've seen it happen. And like when I was talking about me going to church when I was a young guy, and just being the Spirit of God, that was, for me, that was every Sunday a God moment, and that did something big in me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
I remember one for me when I was probably in year 10, and like these guys, I'd grown up in church, and it's a long story how it happened, but the church I was at the time as a teenager had a Christian singing group, and they used to run for about like 6 months of the year. We'd start rehearsals in November and sort of rehearse through the whole Christmas period, and then from February to June every year we'd tour around New South Wales to different centres putting on musical productions in church, and then it had kind of shut down till November so everybody could study and do their exams, like, because most people were in high school or uni or something like that. And I guess because I'd grown up in the church and I was just kind of part of it and all the rest of it, I, as a young teenager, just kind of drifted into doing that because that was what you did, and like it seemed to be the obvious thing to do there. But I have a really, really distinct memory of actually being at the Sydney Opera House, and wasn't that long after it had been opened, actually. And the group that I was with were performing a number at this big Christian youth convention that was being held at the Opera House. And I remember standing in the side room at the side before the performance, and we all stood in a group to pray, which is what we normally did. And I just held hands in that group of young people, and I could really sense the power of God in a way that I had never sensed before. Yeah, and it really hit me that a lot of the other people who I was standing with had a completely different understanding of who God was and his power than what I had. Because I was just kind of doing the thing that was there, but they had a real understanding of something about the power of God. And that became a real wrestle for me, because I kind of realized then that even though my parents were following God and I'd been brought along to church from the time I was a little girl, I actually had to make a decision for myself about whether I was going to follow God. And not just because they did, but because I wanted to do it, or I needed to do that for myself.
Yeah.
And when I think about my family, you know, my sister and brother had the same opportunities and experience as I did. But, you know, in their teen years, they kind of drifted through church stuff, but never came to that point of saying, yep, that's what I want to do. I'm going to follow Christ. Yeah. And to this day, neither of them are active believers. Mm. And I think that was the difference for me. It was kind of coming to that thing that it wasn't just about what my parents believed. It was about what I believed as well.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy? What about God? Have you had any big God moments?
Every day is a big God moment. No, I'm that spiritual. I'm joking. For me, I think it's just been, I guess, the story of God just providing and God doing stuff, and knowing that everywhere that I've got in life and everything that's happened to me has been for a purpose, and there's been a reason to it. And there's things that I'm doing now only because of stuff that happened to me before in my life, and realizing that that's not just coincidental, but God's really lined things up. And even to the extent of us coming to Wollongong and starting a church here, like, I could have been somebody who, like, we lived in Queensland until I was six. I could still be living in Queensland. Like, who knows where God will take you or whatever, but so there's stuff like that. And I think some of the big things too for me have been going overseas for the first time. That was a big thing, going to China and seeing how there's these Christians there who it's not a thing where they grew up in church and that's just because that's what everybody did. And it's a family thing or whatever, but they're people who are literally risking their lives for their faith, and that's a big eye opener and a big thing where you just see how God is sovereign and God is powerful.
Just challenges you,
huge challenge for sure. As well as that, there's a few questions here, so I'm just going to kind of smash.
Get into it, Heather.
I'm making
it's leaking
a mess.
Out the side and not actually coming out the top.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the water bottle that I brought up on stage.
Oh, look at that.
Which works better than that one, I think. Yeah, but I only touched the outside
that
of it.
As well. One of the questions that's come through was how did you survive through school being a Christian? So I might start that one off as well. I think for me, it was easy. No, it wasn't easy, but it was simple, I guess. Because I think I got to that point in my life when I was in primary school probably where I was really just sure and really confident in what I believed. Mm. And so then no matter what somebody would say to me or argue with me, like, I just didn't care, and so I just always put it out there. And I guess I'm a really strong believer in just being upfront about who you are and what you believe and not being ashamed of that. And I guess I got to that point where you're just like, why would I be ashamed of this God that loves me and has saved me? Why would I give up the life that I know he's called me to have just so that I can fit in a bit better or something like that? So, I don't know. Yeah, what about anybody else?
I think mine are very similar to that. I went to a Christian school, which was really great. Doesn't mean everyone's a Christian, of course, but I did make sure that my best friends had very similar beliefs to me, and yeah, I'm still very close to them, great. And that's really great. And I think that was something that really helped because, I believed and I stood up for it, and people respected that. And I think as you stand up and as you are consistent in what you believe, then people do respect that. Yeah. And I remember when I actually left school, someone doing a speech at graduation and just pinpointing a few people who they respected for, you know, consistent serving in the church and not putting other things in the way. And it's just nice to sort of, I guess that really hit me then, you know, it's just about being consistent and not swaying just because there's a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Having those really good friends was really helpful because it meant if I did stand up about something, it wasn't just me by myself. So I think I was quite blessed in that respect.
That's
but
really
definitely
important.
Definitely standing strong and staying.
Because if you hang around the wrong people, it's just going to have a huge influence on you. And it's not going to help you to be a great Christian in your school.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, for all the young people out there that you are at school and you're not at a Christian school, man, you guys are doing a great job.
Yep.
Go for it. Don't give up. I just want to encourage you, like, be the light in your school and just shine Jesus as brightly as you possibly can. Mm. Yeah. Because I know for me, when I was in, like, I didn't become a Christian until like mid-high school, so I don't really know what it's like to be a Christian standing up in like a public school. But can I encourage you guys to do it? To be the best Christian and the best light you can possibly be. Yeah.
I was a Christian in a public school. In like a Christian, like in a public country school, it was nuts. But it wasn't as bad as people think it will be. You know, like people don't, they're not going to shout you down if you mention that you're a Christian. Like if they asked you, like, or however it came up. I remember that in our school there were two Year 12 students that were running like a lunchtime Bible study once a week, and there was 3 of us that went to it. Like, it wasn't the popular thing to be doing, but those 3 girls that I was with, we weren't unpopular people, but people were just happy to let that be you, like, and then you being you influences other people. But it's not.
Just don't be a dorky, annoying Christian.
Yeah.
Then you might get picked on. But if you're just genuine and really nice, and you probably get through pretty
well. You might
be
able to separate dorky and annoying from being a Christian. Like, you don't have to have those things together.
No, that's right.
That's right.
I don't think you meant to have those things together.
No, no. Well, cool. So at the risk of getting a bit intellectual, someone sent through an interesting question that I think we might throw out and tackle. Mm. It's kind of 2 questions. So I'll say it. It says, explain evolution / creation. And just in 2 minutes now, explain that. No, and why God would create a world knowing that man would sin and turn against him. That's a good question, I think.
I'm really interested to hear what Heather's going to say on this. On the spot.
On the spot. I believe that God made the world. Yeah. I don't have any doubt in my mind that God made the world. Mm. And the more I learn about just the little bits of the perfection of the design and the intricacy of how we as human beings and as the whole natural world is made up, the more convinced I am of the fact that God created the world.
Sure.
Because I there's no doubt for me that it wouldn't be possible for that to all happen just randomly. I also believe that because it says so in the Word of God, that God created the world and he spoke it into being. And the Bible talks about the world being created in 7 days. But, you know, in all honesty, I think a lot of people get far too hung up about this, and they turn it into something far, far bigger and more complicated than it actually needs to be. And I don't think... I mean, I think if you're wrestling with this, there's heaps of stuff you can read and heaps of stuff you can look at, and it's good to wrestle through issues and think about it. And so I don't want to be simplistic about this, but... If that's a hang-up and you're not sure about it, can I just suggest you kind of put it to one side and get on with thinking about relationship with God? Because that's actually the second part of this question. It actually says, why would God create a world knowing that man would sin and turn against him? Yeah. That's because God wanted a relationship with us, and he wanted it to be a genuine relationship. So... a genuine relationship is not something that, like, where somebody has to do it. If I can use the example of an adult child, okay? Like, when your kids are little, and I know nobody else kind of knows about this, like, they have to hang with you. They don't have a choice, all right? You know, you go shopping, they go shopping too. You go to the park, they go to the park. Like, they're just, you know, whatever you do, and your kids actually don't have a choice about whether they're with you or not. And there'll be some things about the way, well, a lot when you're little is you just accept it because that's what your family does and it's the way your family does it. You don't even think about what's happening there. But adult children are adults, and they don't have to talk to their parents anymore. And I'm really fortunate that my adult children actually talk to me. And I have a relationship with them now that they've grown up that is one of equal adults that can talk together. Now, I mean, that's maybe only a fraction of it, but God wants an adult relationship with you.
That's good.
He doesn't want you to just be a little kid that does what they're told and goes where mummy or daddy says whenever. He's not interested in people being like a robot. He wants relationship. So the reason God created the world and the reason that he put the possibility of Adam and Eve eating from the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and that he was willing to take the risk was that he actually wanted a relationship with us that was equal, that where we would choose to be with him and not just because we had to be with him. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
And when you think about the whole thing about creation and evolution, can I just encourage you to actually think about the fact that God created us for relationship and he knew that there was risk in putting the possibility there, but he was willing to take risks because he wanted real relationship, not just fake, automatic, you have to relationship. And so he leaves the choice to us. So if creation and evolution is something that worries you, then get a good book to read, investigate it, but don't like make that your life obsession. Get on with understanding how much God loves you, and he'll show you the bits that you need to understand as time goes on, I think. I don't mean to belittle somebody who's got a question about that, but I actually think it's more important to think about your relationship with God.
That's good. I always had a friend at school, and every week, basically, he would come to me with a random question about evolution or something where he was like, okay, Andrew, I've got it now. I'm going to prove to you that Christianity is wrong. And this went on like for probably 5 or 6 years. Like, he was in my primary school as well. And I guess I got to a point where, like, after trying to discuss that and argue with those questions over and over again, I kind of got to the point where I kind of just in the end said to him, you're really missing the point. That stuff's valid and thinking about that stuff is valid, and that's just because, like, that's how we were made. We were made to question stuff around us. But in the end, for me, it comes down to being loved by God and loving God. And so if I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that it's possible for me to be forgiven for my sin and to live for eternity in heaven, then why wouldn't I believe that God can create the world in 6 days? Like, anytime I think that's not possible, then I'm just limiting God. Like, people are like, how could God create the world in 6 days? And I'm like, well, he's God. How could he not be able to do that? But I guess what Mum was saying there as well about it being that adult relationship, because it is interesting that God, knowing what was going to happen, decides to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then knowing that we would accept Jesus or reject Jesus, Jesus died anyway, all because of love. And I think when we look at it too academically and we take love out of the equation, none of that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when we understand that God is love, it makes perfect sense that he would create us knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, I agree that, like, I think he knows the choices that we make day to day before we make them. And I think that overall he knew what the world was going to do and how they would reject him. And he still, like, decided it was worth it to him because he loved us enough that it was still worth it. That even if we hated him and if some people never know him, he loved us all enough that he still chose to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, being a Christian is all about faith, believing what the word says. Mm-hmm. So I guess you got to come to a point and say, well, I really don't understand it, but I'm going to believe it and get on with it. So I love what you said, Heather. Like, God took the risk. Is he or she going to love me or choose me, or aren't they? I'm going to take the risk and hope that they choose me. Yeah. I think that's cool.
And I love the fact that God has given us a choice because it makes it more real for us as well. Like, it's very real for me because I know that God didn't just create us as robots just to respond to a command to, you know, be in relationship with me. Because how can you be in a relationship with someone when you're forced to be? And I think with all of my, like, my friendships and in our relationship and just my family relationships, it's, I choose to love them and they choose to love me. And I think that makes it really personal and really special. And that's what's really valued in my, like, my relationships with my family, my friends.
I've got a couple of questions, but we'll so someone's texted through saying, what's the church's role in Christianity? Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Dad's answered from the front row there.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I mean, people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I don't have to go to church. Well, okay, all right. If you want to say that you believe that Jesus is Lord of your life and you want to stay at home all by yourself and never have contact with anybody else, I guess there's a sense in which theoretically you've made some sort of a Christian commitment. But the church is the bride of Christ. Mm. She may have pimples and spots and not have managed to get to the hairdresser on the day of the wedding, if you like. But this, the church is what God designed for the world. And you won't survive as a Christian. You won't grow as a Christian. You won't fulfill your purpose as a Christian, which is the point. Outside the church. The church is absolutely pivotal to being a Christian. And so I don't think you can be a Christian without being in church, honestly.
Mm. I think I think the great thing about church is that it's always a place where you know there are other people who believe the same as you, and a place where you can go to I just worship God, and you can worship God all the time. I'm not saying that you have to come to church to worship God, but it's a place where you can do that with other people, and I think there's something powerful in that, and it's a good place to learn and to grow. And I know definitely if I hadn't gone to church, I would probably not still be living out my walk with God, because I wouldn't have had that constant encouragement when times were hard, and that accountability as well I think is really important. We have our cell groups, which are really good for that, but yeah, I think that accountability is really, really important, because if there's something in your life that's not quite right, then you've got someone else to, you know, say, you know, put you back on the right track and encourage you in that. And I think definitely the church is a place we can come and to serve, and also a place, it's a vehicle, I guess, as well, for being able to help other people in a big way. And I love the fact that we do so much stuff overseas as a church, because it really is something that we can give to and make it have a huge impact in the nations because of. Not saying that you can't by yourself, but I think as a church, that's definitely, you get the heart of the church. And the fact that, I guess, just being surrounded by people who believe the same as you really does keep you on track.
Yeah.
I mean, the church isn't a building, And it's not necessarily this church, but the church is the body of Christ. I mean, I guess I'm using a whole lot of images that are in the Bible. I mean, it talks about being the bride of Christ. It talks about being a body and everybody's got a part to play. It talks about being a building, so all of the, you know, bricks and mortar joined together and all of that kind of stuff. We're meant to be linked, not meant to be individual and out on our own. And that's why I think church is just pivotal to Christianity.
If someone's asking that question, and I want to say this in love, that you're probably trying to avoid being confronted with an issue in your life. You've probably got something that's going on in your heart. And I don't need to go to church because that's probably going to be revealed and brought into the light.
Interesting.
So that's just the thought I had.
Yeah, I think another hang-up that people can have on this too is that the church is seen as being responsible for so many things, or that word carries so much baggage in our culture. And it's really changed, I guess, in the last few generations from being a thing that everybody went to was church to now kind of, oh, we saw what the church did to whatever, like the Crusades or more modern conflicts. And so then it gets this kind of target, whereas it actually, like, that misses the point again, I think. And I think, like, Mum was saying, like, the church is the bride of Christ, and it seems ridiculous to say, okay, Jesus, I love you, but I hate your wife. Like, you wouldn't do that to a friend. And, like, if you were going to be in a close, intimate relationship with a friend, like, and you were going to legitimately say they're your best friend, then you're not going to say to them, I hate your wife, without there being some conflict and some problem there.
You weren't thinking of saying that to Adrian, were you?
No.
Better not me.
But see, so it's just as obvious as that is.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it is to me. And I think we need to separate thinking that the church needs to be perfect, because realistically the church is run by imperfect people.
Yep. Yeah.
Like we're here putting on a church, running a service, doing church, and we're flawed people. And sometimes I think we get that confused and we think, oh, the church has done all this stuff wrong, so therefore it's not valid and I don't need it for faith. Whereas realistically, it's a group of people. And that's the body that is the church, and that's the bride of Christ, and that's just people.
And I think often when people talk about, like, some of those things that you were mentioning, like the Crusades, or people talk about, or they say, what about Northern Ireland? Or and a lot of people will say that conflict around the world is actually caused by religion. I don't know, I'm happy to have a debate on this with somebody, but I would actually argue that it's not so much the religion, it's institutionalized power in those cases, and a lot of it's actually about economic power that causes that. So in Northern Ireland, for example, the conflict in the church, in inverted commas, between the Protestants and the Catholics is really about British domination of Ireland. Because the British, you know, sectioned off the part that was Northern Ireland, and they happened to be Protestants, and the people in the rest of Ireland were Catholics. And so conflict arose between the North and the South, which has a religious tag placed on it, but it's actually about political and economic power in that country, much more than it is about religion. Okay, religion's, I guess, being the flashpoint in a sense, but it really, I don't think that's actually what it's about. And I think if you look around different conflicts in the world, people group, within their... this word might sound a bit awful, I don't know, within their tribal groupings or within their racial groupings, if you like. And sometimes that hangs around a religious identity, but often the conflicts between groups are actually not, although it looks like they're about religion, they're really more about who owns this piece of land that I'm standing on now. Is it me or you? And I want it. And that's what happens. Even like, you know, we do a lot of work in our church in the south of Thailand with Muslim people who live there. And there's a lot of terrorist activity with the Muslims in the south of Thailand. And Thailand's a Buddhist country, and the Muslims are a minority group in the country. But a lot of the reason why there's religious unrest in that context is actually because the Thai Muslims are politically oppressed. They're the poor people, and so they rise up to fight the dominant political power and the group that holds the power within the country, because they just want to be heard and have a right to live their own lives there, if you know what I mean.
And so, they happen to be Islamic.
And they happen to be Islamic. And they gain great solace and identity from their faith and from their religion. But a lot of it actually comes down to political and economic power.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, you know, I don't know whether that's too heavy for explosion.
That's all right. I think it's good that we're getting that sort of thing. But I guess we're basically out of time. And so I just kind of want to bring it back to a personal thing, because I think a lot of the time you can get into academic arguments about faith and about religion and kind of that's not what it's about. It's not really an academic thing. So someone sent through, what's been one of the biggest struggles to your faith or your walk with God? And I guess, how have you overcome that? Maybe it was so we finish with a positive. Does anybody want to jump in on that?
All right. You bet. No. Okay. The biggest struggle, I guess one that you might always struggle with, or one that I've struggled with for a while, is believing in yourself. Like, God's got this call for you, loves you. Oh, but does he really? Does he really have something great for me? Mm-hmm. And maybe you just don't believe it, and you've just got to believe it and go with it, and don't let like anything that's happened in the past, any mistakes you've made, stop you from doing something that God wants you to do. Comparing yourself to others, I'm not good enough. Look at that person; they're so much better than I am. And then you start to, you know, make yourself feel so small. But I think so. I don't know how to put that into one word, but that's a struggle: believing in yourself that you can actually do it. But I don't know how I got through that. I guess I just kept believing in myself and trusting in God's grace. Grace is crazy because like you don't deserve it, but it's there. And so if you just live out of that every day, you'll do some phenomenal and great things.
Cool.
I think one of my biggest struggles has been, I guess it's very easy to start to compare yourself to other people and then fear what people are going to think of you if you maybe do something not quite right. Or I think part of me sometimes wants to do things in order to be noticed, whereas really it's not about that at all. And I know constantly I have to claim God's promises over my life. And I still do, and this is how I've always come through it, is to claim God's promises and to know that God, you know, loves me very much, and it's not about you know, him judging me for doing something wrong or right, but it's about the fact that he just loves me and I live in that grace. Mm. And it's always, for me, I think my struggles always happen in my mind. I don't know whether it's because I like to talk lots out loud, that lots goes on in my mind as well. Possibly. Possibly that's why I talk lots. But I think because lots goes on in my mind, sometimes you can let those, you know, voices inside of your head control what you do and what you think and what your emotions are. But for me, it's about not letting that happen and saying, okay, you know, this is an emotion, or this is not true, this is a lie, and I'm going to claim God's promises over that. And that's what I've always done. It's been a very, very conscious effort not to let myself be dictated to by my emotions or by what I'm thinking or feeling at a particular time, but allowing myself always coming back to what God's saying to me and claiming that, even when I don't feel like that's true, claiming his promises, because the more you claim them, the more you begin to believe them, and the more you begin to speak something out and declare something, the more you'll believe that. So I think for me, it's been about not declaring that, you know, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that, but it's about declaring that, you know, God loves me and God's put me here and God values me and he loves what I'm doing and, you know, the promises that he has in the Bible, and making a conscious effort to do that, even when you don't feel like it. And it's something I've still got to do daily.
Mine's different again. I think mine is I struggle with, like, goals and vision, which then affects or my leaders, who are like, Jess, write down some of your goals and visions. I'm like, got nothing to give you. I remember we did in Shine, we had to make a collage of our like dreams and goals. I sat there with a blank page for most of the lesson because I just didn't have, like, and that
was it. The dreams and goals or the collage? Now come on, tell us the truth.
Both.
I did one of them a few years ago and I had like a mansion on mine.
Oh, nice.
And now I look at it and I'm like, ooh.
We're getting there.
Anyway, sorry,
Jess. It's designed. It's just not ready.
Mine was all pretty.
Yeah, so that's the thing that I think I struggle with, just not knowing what the vision is. But I think the way to overcome that is that I still believe that God has a purpose for me, like, and that he's got that planned, and it doesn't mean I'm directionless. It just means that I'm not always sure what's coming next. But, and that's just the thing that comes up again and again.
Well, if it's any consolation, I mean, I was sitting here thinking, I could think of a three or four things that I could pick here pretty easily. But in some ways, that's something for me too. I'm 50 years old. I'm the pastor of a church. And some days I still feel like I don't know what God wants me to do with my life.
When I grow
up, what does God want me to do with my life? And I think, like, I guess it's just the sense that there's just so much more out there. And I'm not making the kind of mark that I'd like to be making. And there's a huge hunger in me to do more and more and more. So you can't let that get you down, because you just spiral into depression if you feel like you're not getting where you need to be. So you have to do what's in front of you to do. And you have to just step by step, you know, what the opportunity is that's there, just grab hold of that. Yeah. But one of my constant prayers, and it's part of that, is that God would increase my capacity, and that he would just, like, make me bigger and bigger and bigger as a person, so I am more and more able to do whatever it is.
But then I think then there's too many more things. Like, don't increase the capacity, because then there's more things I don't know if they're... I liked what Tony was saying about, like, close off the other doors.
Oh, okay.
And just give me... the one thing that's just working.
Given the one thing that's working. But that's kind of like doing what's there and grabbing hold of that. Yeah,
I concur. Yeah.
And look where you are now. Like, just doing what's in front of you and find yourself in the purpose of God.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And see, for me, one of the great joys of my life, as I said before, is this church. And that's been one of our faith struggles. I mean, we planted this church 17 years ago. The first day, there were five of us in our family, because it was before Bronwyn was born, and one other person came to church. And the first 3 years, really, of the life of this church was... like, there were some amazing faithful people, Colin, who came along and who added to that and were absolutely fabulous. But we weren't seeing, the amazing growth and all of that kind of stuff that we wanted to do. But you just got to put... You can't let it grab you or pull you down if it's not all happening the way you think. Yeah. You just got to keep your focus on, this is what I know God told me to do, and I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yep.
That's good. I think for me, something that I've been learning is that I guess I feel like sometimes a walk with God isn't about so much like, oh, I'm all awesome, and then, oh, here's a faith struggle, and then I'm all awesome again. But it's about God building me into the person that he wants me to be. Yeah. And I believe that that's a lifelong thing. Yeah. And I'm not going to get to, like, I'm 24, I'm not going to get to 25 and then be like, oh, cool, I'm good. And like, ding, it's done, the oven's finished, and then I'll go out the rest of my years fully formed and perfect. Yeah. But God is always doing stuff in me.
Yep.
And so if I trick myself into thinking that the struggle is just a thing that I've got to kind of put up with until everything's good, then I'm going to be miserable for probably most of my life. Yeah. But if I see the hard times and the struggles in faith and the deep questions that I have with God as an active relationship, then it's like that it has value. It always has value. And I think we'll always look back on the times where stuff was awful and you hated it and you spent time crying out to God, why is this happening to me, as those times where you grew as a person the most
and not the times where
everything was great and you just kind of cruised by. And so I guess that's my encouragement, if it is an encouragement. You're always going to have those things. Like I've grown up in church and still have those things, and you always will for your whole life. But it's not a matter of kind of overcoming a struggle so that you can be great. It's a matter of choosing to serve God and to follow God, and let him build you into the person that he's called you to be. Sweet. Well, we're out of time completely. But if you've got questions that weren't answered, or that you didn't text through or whatever, then get into a cell group or a life group And if you are in one, and just ask your cell leaders those. And I encourage you to do that just every day and every week. Like, faith is not about just sitting in a seat and listening to a message.
Yeah.
But it's about relationship, and it's about growth, and it's about questions and answering those questions. So I encourage you to bring those and do that. As well as that, I don't think we mentioned it earlier, but the next quarter's worth of 365 bookmarks are out. So if you've been journaling, Mom's got one right there. If you've been journaling and you've been going through your Bible reading through that, then you can grab them at the back after, and you can keep going, because the one that you've got now is going to run out in a few days.
This one, the blue one will run out on Thursday, and you have to start the green one, okay? If you're blue-green colorblind, you're in trouble.
Well, then you just might have to rely on reading.
Oh, you have to read the words. Oh, okay.
That's okay. Cool. Well, that's it for Explosion tonight. We do not have time to messily move everything. Thank these guys. Who thought this was good? Anybody think this is worth doing again one day? That's enough people, I think, to do it again. Next time, if that wasn't worth it for you, we'll give you a warning and you can just stay home. No, I'm joking. Yeah, you can just have a coffee. All right, hang out. Grab a coffee. There's also tons of food, because last night was the women's trivia, raising money for the Shine program, and we get the leftovers. Exciting. So just hang out. Awesome. Have a good night.